It was nothing like we do, like in the coffee in our family farm, which you just collect the seeds and do a seedling and that's it. No,
And
this
hope
is
for the
like
best.
a, this is like a serious thing, and you get these companies and they contracts and whatever. And even by doing that, I mean, doing the good work and getting the correct people and doing what they told us this was the best to do, we still got in a situation. We got a disease called Phytophthora, which is a fungi disease that it's not a fungi, but let's say it's a fungi because it needs fungicide to kill it and to get a surgery.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 2 of a 5-part series. A 5-part series that I think is very important for this moment in the history of our industry. Why? People say to me on this podcast, Lee, you talk about so much negative shit. And I am a very hopeful person, despite what people might think. I'm constantly looking for solutions to the problems we constantly talk about on this podcast. This series is a solution to what's happening for coffee producers who are facing disease and coffee producers who are facing the same kind of thing as what Angela was told, which was because the shift in climate happened on her farm, she could no longer grow coffee. But Angela had a different idea because she had been working in palm oil, and because of some interesting events that had happened in palm oil, she decided to implement some of the solutions that she had used in palm oil into coffee. So Angela, tell us the story. Welcome back to the podcast again. Tell us the relationship between palm oil and coffee and how that plays out in the story.
So I think the connection is soil. Soil is getting depleted everywhere in the world, and soil is not fertile anymore. So each time you have to put more, say, inputs, fertilizings, you have to give water, you have to put so many things, and it's making it more risky to do agricultural business. So because you have to invest so much money
in fertilizers, nutrition, all of that.
And at the end, you don't know if the climate is going to help you. And if it doesn't, then you lose a lot of money. So because soil is being depleted, is needing more and more each time. Like I used to, like say 10 years ago in my farm, they used to put only 80 grams. I have an aunt that she still does farming in the traditional way. She's beginning to use biochar, but she still does. And she's doing 200 rand per application. So it's like you need more. So in palm oil, I used to manage 500 hectares of palm oil. They were old. We had to renovate them. We had a team of magnificent people. Like, you have no idea. They were like engineer, agronomist, and we had a nutritional advisor, and we found breeds to what was the genetic to plant. It was nothing like we do, like in the coffee in our family farm, which you just collect the seeds and do a seedling and that's it. No,
and hope for like the best.
This is like a serious thing, and you get these companies and they contracts and whatever. And even by doing that, I mean, doing the good work and getting the correct people and doing what they told us this was the best to do, we still got in a situation. We got a disease called Phytophthora, which is a fungi disease that it's not a fungi, but let's say it's a fungi because it needs fungicide to kill it and to get a surgery.
The way that you explained it to me, it's like a super fungus, right?
Yeah. And it's attacking not only palm oil, it's attacking avocado and it's attacking citrus.
Cacao.
Yeah, cacao. So it's a transversal disease, which I think is related to soil.
Okay.
So when you traditional farming, that means that the farming that uses synthetic fertilizings and uses machinery, what it does to the soil, it oxidates the organic matter. So you lose organic matter, and the microbiology of the soil, they live in the organic matter.
Mm-hmm.
So when you end up with you can have labs taken from your soil and for example, in the farm, the coffee farm, we were in organic matter, we were in three. So the soils...
What's healthy? What's healthy?
Silvia Primavesi, which is a famous Brazilian organic
agronomist.
She says five. Like,
healthy.
Because when you have five in your soil, a microbiology can live.
Okay.
So,
are you talking pH?
No, pH is the acidity.
Right.
So my acidity was 4, yep. Which is acid.
Right.
Which is acid.
And this number 3 and 5, what is it measuring?
So the organic matter measures the carbon in the soil.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
It measures, there are two types of carbon. Mm-hmm. One carbon is oxidative carbon.
Okay.
Which is where, for example, the leaves come down.
Oh,
or when
okay.
you cut the grass, and this is a carbon source. But because of the weather, the sun, what happens, this carbon, it oxidates, and it, at the end, it becomes like a humic acid that goes to the plant.
By decomposition.
But this type of carbon, it oxidates very fast in tropical areas like mine.
Okay.
So... it's the agricultural in areas like in Europe or the United States, it's different because there they have like the seasons where the leaves come down of the trees, and then you have a winter time, and then you have, so they have one harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, in Brazil, Colombia, you can have three harvests. Like Colombia has two coffee harvests.
Mm-hmm.
One that is right now in my area, and the other one in September, November. So because here the organic matter oxidates really fast.
Right.
It's really fast how they oxidate. So this is one type of carbon. And there is another type of carbon that is called recalcitrant carbon. That means it stays in the future. Like if you are after a year, you still have the carbon.
Okay, so it doesn't break down.
It doesn't break down. So
okay,
in there was a research being done by Cornell University,
mm-hmm.
and they went to the Amazon to study the soils, and they found these carbons that were 1,000-year-old
recalcitrant carbons.
Yeah, and when they checked them, they said somebody did this carbon.
Oh.
Somebody cooked this carbon and placed it here. So they were like these agricultural, very genius advanced people.
Wait, so if I understand this correctly, right? There's two types of carbon. There's the carbon that comes from decomposing trees and leaves and stuff, organic matter, and that's oxidating carbon.
It's oxidized. Uh-huh. It's oxidized.
Okay. Then there's another kind of carbon that sits in the soil and doesn't decompose, and it continues to release nutrients into the soil. It keeps feeding the soil.
Yeah. And this research was made by Cornell in the 2000 years. So when I was in palm oil, we had this is called Phytophthora. So I had an engineer that came to help me, because the engineer that was like in the farm, he resigned. He said, I go, because having Phytophthora in palm in Colombia, that means your plantation dies.
It's a death sentence for the palm plantation.
Yeah, it's a death sentence. So nobody wants to be related to that, because it's a failure in their careers.
And so
I had known this woman. She's an agronomist. She's brilliant, by the way. She's like, I mean, she's a phytopathologist right now.
Okay.
Like, which is like... and so she came and she said, Angela, we have to burn every sick tissue. We can't leave the sick tissue in the soil, because we are going to have the complete circle.
Okay.
We do the surgery in the upper part of the plant, but then if we place that sick material in the soil, then the soil gets sick. So we're going to burn it. And we use barrels, normal barrels. The 200-gallon barrel where they sell the oils and all that stuff. You buy it recycled. So we took up the top of it and we light it up and we just burn the things there. But what we actually were doing, we were cooking biochar, because we put in the barrel layers of fresh material in a burning state below. And that is called a curtain of fire, which is one of the system to make artisan biochar. But in that time, we didn't know this was biochar. So I asked her, what do I do with all that carbon? And she said, just mix it with the compost and apply it. But she didn't even know also this was biochar, because the research was doing at the same time in the Amazon. They were discovering these systems. These carbons.
This recalcitrant carbon. So this thing, so if I understand correctly, the palm oil gets diseased with, how do you say it?
Phytophthora.
Phytophthora. The super, super fungus.
Yeah.
You guys can't spray it. You have to cut out the tissue that's diseased. And from that, you then need to burn it. And so you go and you get these barrel, like oil barrels.
Yeah.
You cut the top off the oil barrel. You buy them secondhand. You cut the top off the oil barrel. You put the tissue that was diseased from the palm oil tree. You put it in the oil barrel. You put it on fire.
Yeah.
And then it burns. And then you just keep adding more tissue to it. That keeps burning, and that adds on top of the burnt palm oil from before.
Yeah, like a layer.
The layers, right? And this is happening at the same time that these researchers from Cornell go into the Amazon and discover this thing that is the second kind of carbon that sits in soil, called recalcitrant carbon, that gives nutrients to the soil, evergreen, like forever.
Forever. It stays forever. That's why it has a taxonomy on its own for CDR, carbon dioxide removal.
So this can replace fertilizer?
It's an amendment. I think it has to have a management. If you do the management, you can do it. Because what happens is, if the soil is depleted and say you put the fertilizer, who takes the food to the root are the mining guys, which are the microbiology guys.
Right.
Well, if your soil is depleted of microbiology, you need to put more fertilizer And because the fertilizer gets some salt in the soil that we had in palm oil, we have a salty soil, which is another problem that you get when you do irrigation.
Okay.
So these salts and these chemicals, they kill the guys that live inside the soil and mobilize those nutrients. So you're like losing the money, because if you don't have the microbiology alive, you can put whatever you want. Soil is blocked. Soil is not living.
Right. So okay. In the next episode, folks, we're going to start talking about, now that we know the story of how we went from palm oil to this thing called biochar, now we're going to talk about what it is in the next episode. So join us for that, please. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.